Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au. Open House around Australia with Lee Hatcher. And now, the human condition.
And tonight, week two of a really interesting series of conversations with our Open House human condition guru, clinical psychologist Lynn Worsley, on one of the three great Open House benchmarks. We said last week, the culture part of life, faith and culture. How do cultures develop? What is it about the human condition that we develop cultures around us? What makes a good culture? Is it possible to fix a bad culture? Lynn, welcome back.
Thanks for having
me
back.
Great to see you, as always. Give us a quick reminder first of how we kick this off. I learned something entirely new last week, the difference between a culture and a climate, say, in an organisation.
Okay. The culture relates to the values of the organisation and the mores, or the subtle ways that people within a culture do things that maintain the values that they have. And oftentimes people don't know why they do things in a culture. It just happens and it maintains the values. And oftentimes too, people forget to do those things to maintain the values and they sometimes lose the plot.
Yes.
But the climate is like the mood of an organisation, and this can be a seasonal or a, you know, it can reflect the latest sales or the losses or the good and the bad times, and it fluctuates much more than a culture. It could be a negative or a positive climate.
And that's the kind of thing that we as individuals, as we'll explore, can influence.
Yes, yeah. That's right. And last week we talked about the way to change the climate from being a pervasive negative to a positive organisation. And this week we'll look at ways to perhaps change a culture.
Okay. So explain to us about the culture of, say, organisations, how and why they develop them.
Okay. I'd like to actually divide a little bit up into what we did the last few weeks,
yes,
which was looking at the giving and taking.
Yeah.
So I've been thinking about this for a while and looking at that research. We have the givers, the takers and the matchers. The givers who give more, the takers who take more, and the matchers who give what they take.
Yes.
So people who are givers in their personal lives, as we discovered from research, can often take on a different style in their business or in their work life. And I think we can see that as a collective. People may establish a culture of either giving, taking, or matching in either an organization or a community. So, for example, a taking culture.
Yes.
A taking culture is it looks to get the best value out of their workers. So if you're an organisation that was a taking culture, but workers would feel a bit used and spent and often feel a bit burnt out, and often they know they're going to have to work really hard to show that they're worth it. And often they come to the organisation as a taker as well, which culminates in more takers in the organisation and
yep,
perpetuates the culture.
Does everybody's but they, head in.
That's right. But they know that they'll have to work really hard because they really want to leave with some sort of personal gain. So
yes,
they want to get something from the organisation for
yep,
themselves.
Yep.
So they use, but they also use their organisation in return. So that establishes a culture that is a taking culture.
Yep.
So it's basically, I'm here to get what I can and then I'll leave with something. A matching culture, when you have an organisation that really goes with the matching culture, it's one where everyone sticks to the rules and they don't do any extra work unless it's paid for, and they don't show any initiative unless they're told to do it or they're paid to do it. So everything has its match.
Yes.
And if people do extra things, they take account of it and they remind the managers that they're owed something for
yes,
it. Now, these people work hard for their money, but they'll often be the workers who stay for a long time because they stick to all the rules, they do their work, they don't burn out, but they don't actually add value to the business or the relationships in that culture.
That'd be surprising, yes.
Yes. So, and if you look at it too, in terms of cultures that are taking and matching cultures, if you look at those values, the values is very much about what I'm getting. It's all about me.
Yep.
And it really looks at how I'm going. Whether I'm going to be rewarded or so on. Now, a giving culture, a culture of giving or successful giving culture, as we looked at in the previous weeks, is one where there's a desire to serve others and they measure the worth of their efforts as to the satisfaction of their clients or their customers. So it's a culture that's more like reaching out to others.
Yes.
In an organization, the focus is clearly on the value of pleasing the client rather than measuring the value of their effort.
Yeah.
Now, a giving culture is dramatically different to the takers and the matchers.
I'm sure.
The giving culture considers how they give, what they give, and the needs of the clients and the way that they can actually propose more things for their clients.
And if you're in it for yourself, my guess is part of the giving culture is the self-esteem that doing well by others actually gives you. It'll still make you feel good.
Yes, but if that's your motivation, that's not necessarily a giving culture. So if you have a giving culture...
No. But yes, it's a consequence, maybe.
That's exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. And so people feel good because they've actually been able to do something for someone else.
Yeah. So is it possible to shift the organisational culture from, say, taking or matching to giving?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
But you know, I was thinking about this today and I was thinking, you know, it's actually really possible to shift a giving culture to a taking or a matching culture. And you know what you could do? If you wanted to move it away from a giving culture, you'd start rewarding people. Now, get your head around that one for a minute.
Which you'd think was a good thing.
That's right. But if you're a giving culture, your focus is about doing something for others. And when the reason you work hard in that culture and the reason you do things in that culture is for others.
Yes.
If someone started rewarding you and praising you and giving you accolades, you start looking at whether you've got the reward. And so you stop giving for others, you start working for the reward. And it may also mean that you set up a competition because other people in the organisation may not have got the reward and they will think that it's not fair and they haven't been recognised.
Yep.
So if you really want to stick with a giving culture, you have to stay very focused on the value of why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so to change a taking and matching culture towards a giving culture, it is, again, coming back to the very value of why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah. So how am I going to do that then?
If you focus on the vision, you're very clear of the vision that you have in the culture. So if you've got a taking or a matching culture, you may actually have lost plot of what the vision is.
Yep.
If you've got a business that's building widgets for customers. You know, you really, is it about how many widgets you sell or is it actually about whether the customers are happy with the widgets?
So it's really important to have that vision.
It is incredibly important
and
to have
that vision. And everybody knows about it and buys into it.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. And when you talk about how the company's going, it's all very well to sort of have a glib mission statement.
Yes.
But if the mission statement is really clear in everybody's mind that it is for outside of themselves, you will have a shift from a taking towards a giving culture.
Okay.
You can also employ people who are in line with the vision. And I think that's a bit of a brave thing.
Because it can give you a benchmark as somebody comes in the interview.
That's right. And it's often quite hard to say, oh, you know, those people are almost over the line. They're just about the same. You know, this is the sort of people we want, but they're not quite right. This is where it's really important to stay with. If someone has that vision of giving or doing something for the customer and wanting to please the customer and do quite well, then you actually find that other people will be attracted to that, into that organisation.
Yeah.
The other thing is if you want to actually move from a taking or a matching culture in an organisation towards a giving culture, ask the clients what they want. Ask the customers.
Seems pretty much a no-brainer to me. Yes.
Yes. And quite often we have organisations that tell the customers what they want and tell the customers how satisfied they should be, whereas actually we don't ask. And I think when we ask, sometimes we then have to try and lift our game.
Yeah.
And that becomes a shift too in how we've been able to please them.
Yes.
Always gather feedback from the customers or the clients as to the service that you have been providing.
So it's a circular thing. You ask and then you feedback and ask and feedback.
And then when you have at the end of the day the measure of your success, the measure of your success is the feedback that you have of the client.
Yes.
And share the successes of the clients, not the workers. So if you want to actually make a difference, don't spend time saying, oh, this is the best workers and we're going to reward these best workers.
That's interesting, yeah.
Yes. You should share the success of the clients or the success of the customers and see how wonderful it is that they've done so well. Isn't it exciting that we've been able to help them to do that?
That's very interesting.
And it's a very different focus if you're willing to move it away from a taking or a matching organisation.
No more of this rah-rah session for the employees.
That's right.
Necessarily.
That's right.
Here's a question. Can you be in a giving culture and it still be somewhat negative? And if so, how do you move from negativity to positivity in a giving culture?
Yes. Yes, you can be in a very much a giving culture and it still be negative. Now, last week we talked about the negative bias where people focus on the problems and the weaker areas in an organisation.
Yes.
This is where they listen to complaints from the clients and this makes people feel like the efforts aren't worthwhile and it also blinds people from working out what they can do better. Now, if you focus on the negatives, like I said earlier, you do get your feedback from clients, but if you focus just on the negatives, it creates a negative bias that causes many people to feel overworked and stressed.
Yes.
But it also creates missed opportunities for business growth. Now, if you actually spend time focusing only on your weakness, you fail to learn from that and leverage your strengths. So one way of moving towards a positive bias is actually to gather information from your best customers or your best clients and or to find out what are your best strengths. Now, this week I actually asked a colleague about his business and asked what were his best three clients and asked him to tell me all about them. And what he did was his face lit up and he had a great time just telling me how great these three clients were.
Fantastic,
of his. And when he talked to me about that, I was then able to go, okay, sounds like your strengths are here, here and here. And what are you doing more of that? How can you do more of that? And this exercise was incredibly helpful for him. It also helped him to work out where he wanted to direct the business again. And it started making him realize what actually drove him in the first place.
It's a very good thing. Yeah.
So if you're actually wanting to move away from a negative culture, a negative, even if it is a giving culture, when there's a lot of negativity and focusing on all the bad things and how you can fix them, rather than that, to actually focus on where are you doing it well? What are you doing well?
Yes.
And what are you doing that makes you want to sing in the shower about it? You know, it's exciting.
And you see your clients doing well.
Yes, and you see your clients doing well. So what is it about that? And once you have that, you start to realize that you're actually moving towards the values that you've got set up in the first place.
I never cease to be amazed at how much you know about everything to do with the human condition, Lynn Worsley. Next week, we're going to look at the impact on coaching and mentoring, how that can influence a culture also. How this applies, or maybe not, to voluntary organisations, not for profit. So it'll be another interesting discussion. Thank you so much, as always.
Thank you, Lee.
See you next week.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.